What if you were born with a disease that you always knew would kill you? And then what if all of a sudden you were given a second chance? Well, that's exactly what happened to me. And it's the question that we explore on the new podcast series, Breathless, from Snack Labs. Join me, Jeremy Saunders, for a series that explores what it means to live and die, to love and to lose, and what it's like to have your whole life turned upside down and the unexpected challenges that come with a life-saving drug. You can listen to Breathless now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
At the beginning of every episode, there will always be time for an acknowledgement. You know, the more we do this, people ask, why do you have to do the acknowledgement in every episode? I got to tell you, I've never been more grateful for being able to raise my babies on a land where so much sacrifice was made. And I think what's really critical in this process is that the ask is just that we don't forget. So the importance of saying these words at the beginning of every episode will always be of utmost importance to me and this team. So everything that we created here today for you happened on Treaty 7 land, which is now known as the center part of the province of Alberta. It is home of the Blackfoot Confederacy, which is made up of the Siksika, the Kainai, the Piikani, the Tsuut'ina First Nation, the Stoney Nakoda First Nation, and the Métis Nation Region 3. Our job as humans is to simply acknowledge each other. That's how we do better, be better, and stay connected to the good. Welcome in. Welcome back. I know I say this every time that I'm so excited about this guest, but I got to tell you, when we want to think about resilience and the ability to persevere through hard things and try to navigate yourself through this world, when this guest sort of crossed my path, I was like, yeah, this is the one. Today you get to meet Amberlee Lago. She is a peak performance coach, TEDx speaker, podcaster, and a leading expert in the field of resilience and transformation. She is the best-selling author of True Grit and Grace and the founder of Unstoppable Life Mastermind. She's got a conference coming up we're going to talk about. And through her book, Coaching Methods and Mastermind, she has curated unique tools to teach others how to tap into their superpower. Because I think what you'll hear her say is we all have it, of resilience, and then be able to elevate your own life and your businesses. She has most recently been featured on NBC's The Today Show, The Doctors, Hallmark, and featured in magazines such as Shape and Fit Pregnancy and Yahoo and Forbes and USA Today and LA Style and Health Magazine. She is a keynote speaker and a phenom that is just getting started. Ladies and gentlemen, go wild. Clap your hands together, only if you're not driving, for the unbelievable Amberlee Lago. Woo! Gosh, come on.
That is the best introduction ever. Can you come with me everywhere? Like,
yes.
Everywhere I go, like every party, every speaking yep. event, like anything I do, can you just come hang out with me? Like, seriously?
I feel like if we entered parties like that, people would really know that we're there. And I mean, I don't think you have a hard time doing this anyways. Whenever I walk into a room, I was thinking about this last night. I really got to tone her down a bit, but I just can't. Every time I think that, I think, no, sorry, today's not my day. And so, listen, I want to tell you, this podcast is about where you came from. And I know to the core of me that we are all way more alike than we are different. And maybe most importantly, the difference between empathy and judgment often lies in understanding where another comes from. So tell me, Amberlee, where would we start with you? Where did you come from?
A lot of dysfunction, a lot of trauma, a lot of self-limiting beliefs, a lot of naysayers, a lot of people telling me, you'll never make it, you won't do it. But I chose to listen to the voice of my heart, my intuition. Mm-hmm. And I also had a couple of really good mentors along the way. So I grew up in Texas, and I think it's real important to have mentors. My dance instructor growing up as a kid. Now, I started working for her when I was 13 years old. Wow. I was working for her, making a lot of money for her. But you know what? She gave me something in return that it's helped me with everything as far as building a business. And my track coach, you know, who was really, really hard on me. And I couldn't understand why my track coach was so hard on me and my dance mm-hmm. teacher was, it seemed like the hardest on me. And now looking back at it, it's like my dance teacher was the hardest on me because she could see potential in me. My track coach had me sit in the front of the bus with her because she saw the potential in me. Wow. And sometimes I know that's hard, but I think it's really, really important to have those mentors and the coaches and people in our life that help us get to the next level. But let me tell you, I thought I had finally reached, after a long time, believe me, mm-hmm. reached some success. Happiness, felt good. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I had a fitness business. I had, I had a fitness business for 26 years and I had other fitness trainers that I taught how to become trainers and how mm-hmm. to run their business. And so it was a very successful career and everything changed in the blink of an eye when I got hit by an SUV. I was on my motorcycle and I got totally T-boned. My husband's like, people don't know what T-boned is. And I was like, well, it's basically when you're riding and somebody comes up and slams up right in the middle of you. I was thrown 30 feet and slid across the asphalt. And when I finally came to a stop, it was like, oh my gosh. But can I tell you, one of the very first thoughts in my mind when I was laying on the street, this is crazy. Like,
yeah,
maybe it's crazy. I don't know. If you're an entrepreneur, maybe it's not crazy. One of the very first thoughts that I had when I was laying on the street was, oh, well, this can't be good. My leg looks like it's crumpled into pieces. I might have to train clients on crutches for a while. Like I was always thinking of, okay, well, how am I going to survive? How am I going to keep moving forward? Like I wasn't thinking, I had no idea I was bleeding out. My femoral artery was severed. Thankfully, a guy came over and he made a tourniquet on my leg. He took his belt off and wrapped it around my leg. And you know what? The paramedics were right down the street. So they came running towards me. They heard the accident. They came running towards me before they even got the call. So everything was aligned for the best outcome, but it has been a crazy, crazy journey for sure.
I can only imagine. And, you know, as you were speaking, I was thinking about this. So as a psychologist, I talk often about trauma and, you know, what happens. I love, you know, you started this story with kind of your two corrective experiences, you know, your track coach, your dance teacher. I know you write about them in your book. And I often say to people, you know, a lot of experts in this world who speak about trauma, speak about the hard things that people endure, are so clear that it's not necessarily what happens to you. It's what you do with it that matters, or you don't, right? And who is there to kind of help you navigate those things? And so I love that that's such a big part of your story. And you started, I mean, so grew up in Texas. Set the stage for me. So grew up in Texas. What part of Texas did you grow up in?
I grew up in a small town called Greenville, Texas, which is kind of crazy because I knew from the time of age 8, like, I don't know why, don't ask me why, but I was like, I'm moving to California and I'm going to be a professional dancer. And people were like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Keep dreaming, whatever. Did it, moved to California, lived there for 31 years and just moved back a year ago this month to Texas, which has been kind of a crazy thing. But yeah, I grew up in Texas, small town.
Do you have siblings? Do you have siblings?
Where did you go? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've got siblings and it's kind of hard, but I want to be keep it real with you. Just found out my older brother's back in rehab. My little brother, he's on death row in Texas. And my youngest brother is in a wheelchair and in a place that helps him function because he can't eat on his own or do anything. He was born like that.
Okay.
And I share that because it's like sometimes when you see people on social media or whatever, and you're like, oh, wow, look, they've got all this success and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, we all have struggles. Like,
oh my God.
It's constant. You don't get resilience and then you're like, oh, I'm resilient and everything is great. It's like, no, you got to dig into your resilience every single day.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
I so do. And I think what we try to do sometimes is sugarcoat it. You know, I was sort of through these things and then, but I'm good now. I want to talk a little bit more about that story. You know, as do you have any sisters? It's you and the three boys?
No, I have a sister also. She's a half sister.
Okay.
And I was hoping that I've never shared this before ever, but I'm going to tell you right now, I've never shared this before on any podcast or anything, but I'll share with you. It had to be completely traumatizing for my little sister to come home from school one day. She was only 13 years old and her dad completely left and abandoned her because my mom found out that he sexually abused me. And instead of denying that, which I always thought he would, to be honest with you, I was like, he's going to deny it. I'm not going to share it. He didn't deny it. He did not only deny it, he ran from it. He was like, okay, I'm out of here. And he left my mom with my disabled brother, who's still in a wheelchair, and my sister, who was 13 at the time. And, you know, I'm a real open book, and I've done a lot of therapy. I still do.
Yes.
But my sister, I that has to be hard, and it's nothing we've really talked about, you know? Mm-hmm. I want to. But you have to have somebody that's willing to do it with you. You know what I mean? But can you imagine how hard that would be as a kid at 13 to have your daughter disappear from you?
No. And how old were you?
I'll tell you exactly how old I was. And the whole reason it came down was I had just given birth to my oldest daughter and my husband was not in a good place. That's what I'll say. That's his story to tell.
Yeah.
But he knew he couldn't hurt me in any other way other than to hurt my mother. And so one night he took the phone and, he was like, do you know, because I had confided in him.
Of course.
And two other people. I first confided in my dad. And my dad did nothing about it, which we've talked about. And he was like, I'm so sorry. You know, you told me not to tell anybody. And I'm like, I was a little girl. I was scared. He told me not to tell anybody or he would kill mom. Like, I was scared. I needed you to protect me. But he did the best that he could, with whatever. And I told you know, I had so much shame. I was carrying so much shame and guilt. And I told my husband at the time about this. And he called my mom and he said, "Do you know what your husband did to my wife?" And told her. And let me tell you, I was devastated.
Oh, gosh.
But she got on the phone with me. She got off the phone, went to him and said, "Well, is it true? Is that what you did?"
Yeah.
And he didn't deny it. And my mom is a Southern belle, and she punched him as hard as she could. And she said, "Well, I guess it is true." And then she came to California to be with me at court. So my husband was gone. Her husband was gone. It was crazy.
And these two women, and you had a baby. You had a baby. And my goodness, honey, I mean, I guess when I think about that, when you look back at, you know, first of all, that little girl who navigated all of those secrets, right? When you look at her now or in your mind's eye, you know, how does she show up in your memory?
Well, you know what I'm so grateful for is that I always had an outlet and I always had good mentors and coaches.
Yes.
That is what's important. Your children need to know that they can have communication with you and they can share with you and they can talk with you. But I think the difference in me, and look, I grew up in the same household with my brothers, who my real brothers, who one's on death row, one's in rehab. We grew up in the same environment. The difference is I had an outlet. Mm. My outlet was I wanted to do something that brought me joy. And I wanted to do something to make me feel productive and make me feel like I could achieve higher levels and do things. And so I became a little bit of a workaholic. By the time I was in high school, I was working four jobs, but I knew that if I wanted to move to California, I was going to have to save up enough money to move, and bought my own car, pack up my car and move to California. I knew that what made me feel good was every time I ran a race and I won. Oh,
yes.
Let me tell you. Made me feel good.
The place you had control. And I, you know, I often, so there's a couple of points in there, Amberly, that I just think are so brilliant. Number one is this idea where you say, you know, my brothers and I grew up in the same household. They struggled so significantly. You know, you speak about your mother as somebody who you are very connected to, right? And oftentimes it is that village, particularly now, not even only in our generation, but even now, I would say that oftentimes it is the dance teacher, the coach, the school teacher. I mean, I speak to teachers all over the world, and I think what becomes so critical to me is the importance now of building those people, because sometimes we can't tell our parents. Sometimes we can't stay connected and we feel like shit because of, you know, as moms, we're like, how come we don't know? How come they didn't? Ah, but I can just imagine as a little girl, there was a lot on that line. First of all, you had to keep the secret. Second of all, it doesn't mean your mom wasn't doing a good enough job. You didn't want to hurt her either.
I didn't want to hurt her.
Right.
I didn't want to hurt her and I wanted to protect her. And that's why I didn't tell her for a long time.
Yes.
I just wanted to make sure it would go away. And first of all, I will say that when I told my dad and he didn't do anything about it, how I made it stop was I stood up for myself.
Did you?
There were a couple of things. First of all, I didn't feel worthy of being loved or protected.
Of course.
But then I switched it to, if I'm going to be safe and survive in this world, I'm going to have to protect myself. Yes. And so I became like this warrior of, oh, let him walk into my bedroom one more time. And he did. And he was bigger than me and stronger than me. And I kicked him and I fought him off so hard and he never touched me again. But there was a part of me that, you know, when you hope, I didn't want to tell my mom, and she feels, oh, let me tell you, she feels horrible about this. And even in my book, I wrote about this and I said, I need you to read the manuscript before I publish the book. But I want to talk about sexual abuse because I think it's important, because I think it goes on more than people even talk about it.
Unbelievably. And, so true.
Yeah. And she said, well, can you please write in there that if I would have known, I would have done this and I could have done that. I said, no, mom, this isn't a book about woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yeah.
This is a book about, no, this is what happened and this is what you do to get beyond it. And so it was a really tough journey.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Okay. So this is what I love so much about, you know, number one, you sort of saying that I had these people who, your dance teacher, your track coach, the places where you sort of felt seen in some of those mm-hmm. moments where it was just, you were so invisible as that little girl. Right. And knowing to the core of her that there's something very wrong about this and there's something very secretive about this. Mm-hmm. And you must have, I mean, tell me this, did you feel like a different human, a different person, you know, on the track when you were in the dance studio, right?
I love that question. Can I just talk to you all day?
I want to talk to you all day.
I'm like, you're helping me. This is like a free therapy session for me. You're amazing.
You know your story so much. You do.
Oh my gosh, you're so amazing. Well, I have to tell you that, do you know, I grew up in the Bible Belt of Texas. I mean, churches, like, you go to Sunday school every Sunday, and if you don't, then you better not be seen outside somewhere. You better be on your deathbed. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
you got to be bad.
Sunday school, like, you go to church. And I remember even I was 16 and I was in a horrible accident where I had a major concussion and I broke my leg and I couldn't walk. And I woke up the next day and my leg was so swollen. And after you've had a major concussion, it makes you really sick. Like, you throw up. Like, it's not good. And the next day I wake up and I literally didn't have crutches yet. I had to be carried in from the car and put on the couch. And my mom was like, well, you got to get ready for church. We're going to church. And I said, Mom, I said, I can't put pantyhose over my leg. That was my first thought, is I can't put pantyhose over this leg that's so swollen. I didn't even know it was broken yet, because they hadn't even looked at the x-ray. And so I grew up in this town where it was, you know, the Bible Belt and this and that. What track did for me is where I connected to God was on the track, in nature, outside. Outside. I'm not kidding you. I would have conversations, and I don't, you know, whatever you want to call it, but if people want to say, you know, universe or higher power, I say God, and I even have written on a card in front of me, it says, God doesn't waste pain. And I anchor myself to God, because God has always been there for me. And when I would run track is when I would connect with God. and have conversations. And it was amazing. And so spirituality to me, like even when I moved to California, I wasn't on the track. My connection to God was like on the mountain. And that's where I would go to fill up my cup, connect with God. And so I think it's really important to think about like what fills you up. Where can you connect to some? I needed something bigger than me to believe in something bigger than me. Like this could not all be happening for just no reason. And this is not all about me. And I need a higher purpose to help me through this. And you know what? That's what it is. And so track helped me connect to God, believe it or not. And dance is what helped me connect to joy.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And then you combine this, which is what I really see so often in entrepreneurs who become successful. There's such a passion there, but there's a purpose that is the foundation of it all. And if that was your place of freedom, my goodness, you can build a life and a business around the place that gives you that experience. I mean, do you think that's where some of your success sort of is rooted in? That business, you know, meant so much more than, you know, just having people who were personal trainers, right? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, yeah. You know what? I think I've always asked myself this question. So I knew from a young age that I wanted to be a professional dancer. Mm-hmm. I also knew at a young age that I wanted to retire as a professional dancer at 25 years old. And the reason being is because I saw a lot of old, injured, like unhappy dancers. And I was like, I want to retire at the top of my game. And man, let me tell you, my agent would keep calling me and keep calling me. And I'm like, nope, I am retired. I am. And so in that moment when I knew I wanted to retire, I was like, okay, well, what do I want to do? What brings me joy? And I thought, you know what? What brings me joy is working with other people and helping them to succeed. So how can I do that? And how can I do that with something that I love? And I was like, well, I completely went to the gym and rehabbed my knee and didn't have to have surgery. Maybe I can help other people do that. So I went and got certified as a trainer. And I loved it. And it wasn't just I'm a personal trainer. I was in the business of, I employed other trainers. I was in the business of taking other trainers to the next level, helping them get certified, helping them get clients, helping them run their business. And I realized, like, I just love seeing people succeed, especially women, I have to say, especially women. And so that's what I love doing now is people ask me all the time. They're like, well, you didn't own a computer 6 years ago. I was like, oh no, I had my web guy here to the house. And he was like, oh my God, you really don't know that much about tech, do you? I'm like, no, I don't. I'm telling you, I didn't own my first computer until 6 years ago. Everything was word of mouth and on the dance floor or the gym floor. And now to be here sitting with you and your amazingness and with your community and have some ring lights and a computer, and it's amazing. And so now what I'm most passionate about is I teach other women how I went from like 13 followers on Instagram to over 221,000 on one platform. And I've got three Instagram platforms on all my different businesses. But I teach that because I want people to know, especially women that are my age, like I'm 51, that are like, you know what? It's never too late. You don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to decide and be willing to take action. And you can have the life that you've always imagined. Because let me tell you, to have that doctor tell me I would never work again, I would never walk again, I would never wear shorts again. Yeah. I wear short skirts on stages. Yeah. And I work.
Yes, ma'am.
I definitely walk and I do the step mill. I may do it in my boots, but I do it. You know
yes.
what I mean?
That is amazing. And I love this message of like, it's never too late, because I think so much of this is, you know, we're like, oh, can we start now? The kids, and then there's this, and then there's that. Because I think that this message is like, that can be the most debilitating story in our heads. Is that, oh, look at them, they're ahead of me, or they've already accomplished this, or look at this person, yeah. right? I mean, how many times are you speaking to the women that you coach and help move forward? You know, is that the most common conversation? What do you think is one of the biggest barriers that people have when they get into this place of like, oh, I can't? How do you, where's the grit need to come from?
You know what? I think the huge misconception that I had was I was all about the grit. And I was, I mean, I had like this PhD and suck it up, and I just got to go and keep hustling and go doing it. And the big misconception for me was that grit without connection is just, it feels like you're clawing your way to the top. It feels like you're in quicksand or hitting roadblocks or rock bottom. But grit with connection is where you truly find resilience. And so what I have learned, and it was not without struggle, and it took me about 6 years, honestly, from my motorcycle accident to where I was like, oh my God, I need connection, because connection is the opposite of addiction. Connection is what lets you thrive as an entrepreneur, and connection is what more as women, for sure. I mean, look, I love men too. Believe me, I've worked with them my whole life. My husband's a retired lieutenant commander. I love men and the male power, but guess what? I love seeing women thrive. Yes, and so yes. I speak on a lot of stages where I'm the only female speaker. And I think sometimes in the men's world for speaking, they know, oh, she rode a Harley and she had these surgeries and she's got grit. Okay.
You try we'll to be masculine. Her. Yes. Yeah. That masculine energy. Yeah.
I'll tell my husband, hey, I'm the only female speaker. And he's like, that's awesome. I'm like, no, it's not awesome. I want more females. I want more strong women on stages. Mm-hmm. And that's why, like with my mastermind, I don't just teach them everything that I've learned along the way. I provide a stage for them to stand on. And I have 8 mastermind students that are standing on the stage, and they get to say that they shared the stage with John Gordon and Ben Newman and Rudy Ricksteins and Rachel Luna. Because I think that sometimes that's all we need is just like a little help to get that one picture,
yeah.
that one video. And that's what I want to help women do. That's what I really, really want to help women do.
I love that. And I would agree. I mean, so much of what I hope that this platform does is that like grit is one thing. It's one piece of it all. And yes, you know, most of us who, when I think about people who are successful in this world, I mean, you can work as hard as you want, but if that ability to think you can do it all by yourself, or that there, you know, the lack of connection to the people that you're serving or you're serving alongside, that's where the key is, isn't it? It's mm-hmm. that idea of yes, work, but who's your connections to? Who are you sort of grabbing by the hand and doing it along the way? And I really love that message for you. And I know that there is also, you know, this summit coming up, the Unstoppable Success Summit. And Gordon's going to speak there. This is not till April, right? So if you're listening, this is April 19th and 20th in Dallas. So for some of our U.S. and I mean, listen, Canadian friends, let's get on a plane and check it out, because I think that what are these couple of days about? What do you do when you bring people together?
Okay. Well, first of all, do you know one of my big things on my bucket list is to go to Canada?
Done. Okay. We got lots of options up here.
I mean, seriously, the people, every single person that I have met from Canada is like amazing. And I love Seriously. I feel
We're a good bunch. We really are.
Yeah. I feel like Canadians and Texans are a lot alike, and that they're just very supportive and friendly and like the real deal. Like you get what you see. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But okay. On another note, I know I should be like shouting out what my event is, but I just wanted to say, I love Canadians. I love you. Thank you so much again for having me on. You're freaking amazing. Oh, stop. You are so amazing. So my event's April 19th and 20th, and you can just go to amberleylago.com. And this event is for any entrepreneur who is really, really ready to level up. Like, seriously, getting in the rooms with people, you never know how one conversation, one meeting, one hug, one story you hear, one somebody saying they believe in you, that can change your entire life.
Yes.
And I say that because I spoke at one event and I had 5 minutes on the stage and it changed the whole trajectory of my speaking career.
Wow.
So when I can provide an environment where you're in touch with people like John Gordon, Ben Newman, Rudy Ricksteins, Rachel Luna, and I'm offering a panel of the best publishers, podcasters, TEDx speakers. I want to see people succeed. I want to, let's level up your business. Let's expand your influence. And so that is why I'm doing the event. Believe me, it is stressful. And my husband is like, why are you doing another event? Honey, I promise we're going to have fun. We're going to, but can I just tell you, I haven't shared this with anybody, but I just want to tell you, I am like, I've got a call later today that we are going to be doing dancing. Like, well, I shouldn't say this. I shouldn't say, keep it a secret.
I got it. Yes.
Okay. There's going to be lots of surprises. And it's going to be amazing. Pete, my event planner is like, Amberly, you need to reel it in. And I'm like, we are in Dallas, Texas. We go big or go home. Like, this is no.
Oh my gosh. I love it. I love it. I'm going to put all of the information in the show notes about that. What else? What's next for you? Tell me.
Meeting you in person, April 19th and 20th. Yes! How fabulous. I would love, seriously, you can be my guest.
Oh, I would love it. I would love it. We got to make it happen.
I would love to see you. Seriously.
Yes.
I would love to see you.
Oh, I think it would be amazing. I think it would be. And where can people find you? Is Instagram the best place?
Yeah. AmberlyLago.com is where you can find my book, my podcast, my events, but where you can see the back, you know, shenanigans of like my daughter and her horse and her horse throwing her off and my 2-pound pup and all that fun stuff. And my 2-pound pup on top of our 17-hand horse. Instagram, Amberly Lago Motivation. That's where you can get the shenanigans.
The goods. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You are such a force to be reckoned with. And this little girl who came from such hard places has just turned everything on its head. And I'm just so honored to sit with you and to know your story. And, you know, this is Everyone Comes From Somewhere podcast. And what I really love the most about the people that, you know, I get to sit with in this space is just, you know, what resilience looks like. And you got to show us today. So I'm grateful to you. And I hope everybody listening today can just sink in, know a little bit more about this amazing soul. And I hope that she's inspired you to know that no matter what, there's always a way out. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You look after you. I can't wait to talk soon. And everybody else, take care of each other. We'll see you again here soon. Hey, after this episode, if you're thinking about what do I do? Where do I go to do the work? Where do I land? I'd love to listen to Jody's voice more. gosh, I wish she had a course where I could just do the work with her on my own time whenever I'm ready. Guess what? I created one. It's called Feeling Seen, the course, and it's so fucking good. I got to tell you that. It's really good. If you want to have a place to land where you want to think a little bit more, you know, we talked about some really important things on this episode, and if you want to dive a little deeper with me, you can go to drjodycarrington.com and check out my courses. Feeling Seen is one that I think I created for everybody who wants to just sink in a little more in this time of disconnect. So go there. I'll put a link in the show notes, and I'll meet you there when you're ready. The Everyone Comes From Somewhere podcast is produced by the incredibly talented and handsome team at Snack Labs, Mr. Brian Seaver, Mr. Taylor McGilvery, and the infamous Jeremy Saunders. The soundtracks that you hear at the beginning of every episode were created by...
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Donovan Morgan. Our executive producer is Marty Piller. Our PR big shooters are Des Vino and Barry Cohen. Our agent, my manager, Jeff Lonis from the Talent Bureau. And emotional support, of course, is provided by, relatively speaking, our children. For the record, I am a registered clinical psychologist in Alberta, Canada. The content created and produced in this show is not intended as specific therapeutic advice. The intention of this podcast is to provide information, resources, education, and maybe even a little bit of hope.